Yesterday we discussed the Chiddush of Rashba that points out that there's a difference between the Heter of La'alter as opposed to other aspects of Borin. That even on Yantif, La'alter is necessary as well. We pointed out again the following Chiddush, that even though we're so accustomed in Shin Yates to the Chiddush Rabbeinu Chananel, that all three requirements are necessary when it comes to the Melach of Borer, Rashba is of the opinion that if it is indeed the altar, then even psalus mitoch ochel is considered timutar. Even psalus mitoch ochel is labeled as derech achila and not labeled as derech reira. In this, the Bir Halacha points out in Tov Kufiyot is very relevant for borer anyantiv. The Mishnah tells us that according to the view of Beis Hillel that one can be borer kedarko. What is the basis of that heter? So the Ramban Mochamas Daf Yud Gimel Beis and Dapi Arifim Maseches Beisa writes that borer is considered simply to be malachas ochon efesh. And even though in our list in the Mishnah this is considered kodam lisha, that's not generally true when it comes to all aspects of borer. Certain type of borer, commercial borer, can be used as malachas avoda, not malachas asuda, but rather household borer, that is considered to be an instance of malachas ochon efesh. Since it's indeed malachas ochon efesh, therefore borer midarais is considered to be mutter. And what the Gemara tells us in Beitz and Daf Yudal Mabeis, any limitation, for example, not using a nafu kvara, that would be a chumra derabanan. The same is true when it comes to tochin, for example. When we'll discuss tochin and Shabbos Yontif, we'll see, even if you should assume that tochin is considered to be melechas al panefesh, there are certain restrictions even when it comes to Yontif itself. However, the Rashba writes the following, that when it comes to borer, even on Shabbos, borer psolos mitochochel is mutter as long as it's considered to be la'alter, and that is necessary even when it comes to Yantif itself. On Yantif, the reason Beis Shammai assumes that borer kedarko, because since it is done la'alter, that would not be forbidden min ha-Torah even on Shabbos, and therefore, if it's only at most in Issa Drabanan, litzarach al-chanefesh, the Chachamim, in fact, were not gozer. So that's what the Rashba points out, that there is a marked difference between la'alter as opposed to psolos mitoch ochel, as you mentioned, even within Shitas Abayi, that perhaps, right, the very essence of the definition of bor is bor la'otzer, if something is considered to be la'alter, the Rashba writes that would be mutter, even in those cases as well. That was a very important chiddush of Shitas HaRashba. We mentioned the Gemara comments in the case of Rabibi, that since there was a shaila of borer because of the case of kalkala deperi, so therefore this was resolved by shada kamayhu. When Rabibi was serving that basket of peros, simply he turned the basket over, causing the peros to scatter, and that would solve any potential problem of borer. That was the suffix of the Gemara. Was he doing so because of a concern of borer, and this would resolve that instance, or was he doing so because ayin yafahu gemechavein? But the Gemara does assume, even if it would have been a problem of borer, this in fact, pizur hataruvos, would in fact resolve. And we started to discuss that chiddush as well. When do we assume that's considered timutter? Rav Moshe writes in Chelek Dalet, Siman Ayin Dalet, Vidras Moshe, the possibility of breaking a taruvos, and as we'll have to discuss today, it's not simple to define what is considered to be taruvos when it comes to melach of borer, but even if something is considered to be bitaruvos, if one will break that taruvos and scatter the minim, in such an instance that will allow for a subsequent act of taking whatever is indeed needed. We don't view it as an act of a bor arichta, as though that it's simply considered to be two different stages, all of us the result in borer. We pointed out that Mishmer Shabbos quotes the Chiddush Nevi of Shlomo Zalman. He writes that therefore it's mutter la'odam acher livor, that once A breaks the taruvos, B can go ahead and do so. And in the Gimel Shmer Shabbos, he points out that perhaps that would even extend to the individual himself, since this is all considered to be two independent acts. Number one is pizra taruvos, and then separating out or taking. Therefore, that is considered to be sufficient to avoid the problem of borer. In terms of certain issues halacha lemaisa, so today's show I wanted to discuss these various applications of min echad, shnei minim, taruvos, biyad bakli, just in terms of details that the poskim cite lahalacha. We already mentioned the principle that is kimat universal, that ein borer ele b'taruvos, even though the Gemara doesn't spell it out explicitly. No, but clearly, if there's shnei minim that are einim, or Rav Mezebe said, there's no problem of borer at all. This is what the Glital points out, the melach of borer in Yud Aleph Aleph, and this is what the Rosh Sameach writes in Peraches Aloch Yud Aleph, what the Shvisa Shabbos writes in the melach of borer in Sivkot Yud Ches, This is what the Chazon Ish discusses in Siman Nun Gimel. A need for there simply to be a Taruvos. If they are Shnei Minim, but they're Shnei Minim that each one is Omed Bifnei Atzmo. So in such a case, there is no problem of Borer. What is somewhat difficult, Lahalach, is how exactly to define what is the Geder of Shnei Minim HaMe'uravin. In extreme examples, it's clear. If you have two individual items that are not even smuchim zelaze, there's no shiloh borer, that's not considered to be a taruvos. But where exactly to draw the line is somewhat unclear. What is considered to be a single min, shnei minim? What is considered to be the definition of taruvos? If you look in Shmir Shabbos Kolchos in Perek Gimel, that's the Perek of Borer, and Ha'ara Zayin, there's a lengthy piece from Shlomo Zalman just regarding the following. There are certain cases that seem to be instances of Borer, but yet you don't find in the Gemara or the Rishonim that indeed that act is forbidden because of Borer. If you look, for example, in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Tes Zayin, in Sif Tes, there the Shulchan Aruch refers to the Sugyan Shabbos and Daf Kuv Zayin with Beis, HaMefala Begodav Mikinim. Let's assume a person has kinim, types of bugs, insects, lice, which are on his clothing. So the Gemara discusses the permissibility of one removing that from the beged itself. One has to be concerned with concerns of melabein, maybe nikayon habeged, cleaning the garment is a form of libun, or the possibility that removal of the insect by trapping it or catching it is a problem of tzeda. One could envision, for example, it could be a problem of netilas neshama if the bug is killed in that particular process. But here, the Shmir Shabbos asks the Nimr of Shlomo Zalman, why simply isn't this a problem of Borer? Now, after all, if someone has something on the beged that he does not desire, why is that only a problem of Malabin? Malabin could depend, right, on certain circumstances. What type of beged, what color the beged, why isn't it the problem of Borer? The same question of Shlomo Zalman could be raised in terms of the following. Let's assume shtifas kelim. If a person has a dirty dish and he washes that dish, you mean to say that that's asur on Shabbos because of Borer? That in doing so he is removing the psoles mitoch ochel, whereas we defined even the altar would not work in that case. Any type of nikayon kelim or nikayon begodim, why isn't that a problem of Borer? Or, for example, a sugi that we discussed earlier, and that's the case of schita. Sometimes schita is a problem of disha, sometimes schita is considered to be, right, a tolda of malabein. So if you have, right, a garment that is saturated, right, and the person will squeeze out its liquid, so in such an instance, that's a problem potentially of malabein. And malabein has certain halachos. Right, it has to be derech libun, it can't be derech lichluch. Again, why isn't that considered to be a problem of Borer? The person certainly does not desire that the beged should be saturated. He's interested in removing, right, the water from the beged. Why isn't that considered to be Borer? Solas mitoch ochel. Or even the sugya we discussed at length, the case of Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim. So we discussed the possibility of Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim. Good. Zomer is chayv because of Zarei, and tzarech le'etzim is chayv mishum kotzer. Why isn't that considered to be a problem of Borer? No, if a person has certain branches on the tree that he does not desire, and now he removes those branches in order to promote the growth of the plant, shouldn't that be a classic case of psolas, mitoch ochel? Or the sugya that we had point cutting daf beizma beiz of menachesh, a person who is weeding. So again, menachesh, mashkamayim nizraim, achlokes amaraim, whether it's considered to be a problem of choresh, whether it's a problem of zoreya. Why isn't removal of that undesirable weed, why isn't that a problem of Borer as well? Kibbut habayis, for example, the Gemara says that sometimes midrabanan one can't sweep a floor, right? Because there's a chshash of ashvuye gumos. If you're dealing with a earth floor and the floor is not fully level, you have to be concerned with the possibility that by sweeping you're going to level out, and that's a problem of boner. Right, and that's only true if it's an earth floor, and ashuye gumos, and is there a davar miskaven, davar sheni miskaven, is hashvos gumos a psigresha, or is it not? Why not simply argue that that is borer? No, after all, you're going ahead and removing all the debris, removing the psolos mitoch ochel, right? Why are these not considered to be problems of borer? That's the horror that Rav Shlomo Zalman has, that the Shmir Shabbos quotes. There are cases that certainly sound like removal of psolos min ha'ochel, and yet it can be many other malachos but yet doesn't sound like it's the malacha of borer at all. There Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that apparently one must assume the following, that nikui hadavar, simply cleansing something, washing something, which is darko tamid lislachech, that normally becomes dirty, and the regular routine is simply to go in and to wash off its debris. So nikayon hachefes, just cleaning a chefes, whether it's considered to be a floor, or whether it's cleaning a garment, whether it's cleaning a particular kli of shtifas kelim, that is not considered to be borer. Perhaps part of the issue is whether those are considered actually to be minim uravim zebazeh. When a person sees a plate, for example, and there's a little bit of leftover food on that plate, a person sees that as a taruvos. That's a taruvos of ochelim solis. When a person sees the floor, and the floor is somewhat dirty, and he sweeps the floor, so that's considered to be shnei minim horavim zebezeh. There's a combination of dirt on the floor, and therefore separating one from the other is considered to be a problem of borer. That, Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, you see from all these rayas, is not considered to be a case of borer. And he refers you to a comment of the Shiltei HaGiborim. The Shiltei HaGiborim is found in the very end of the Ve'ilu Ksharim, right, and daf mem beis amud aleph nadaf beharif, where the Shiltei HaGiborim seems to assume the following chiddush, that it is all tali b'lashon abriyas b'nei adam. It's dependent on the perception. If something is perceived as being a taruvos, that is shnei mineh mamruavim. If it is not perceived as being a taruvos, so therefore separating A from B is not considered to be an act of borer. So if a person has shnei mineh ochlim, so therefore, very reasonable. The perception is there are shnei minim hamur ravim zebezeh, whether it's psolas or whether it's shnei mini ochel. When a person sees a piece of trash on the floor, so therefore, even if two ochlin would have been in such close proximity, not one embedded in the other, that you would consider to be a taruvos, in common sense terms, we don't relate to this as a taruvos. I have a taruvos of the floor and that which is on top of it, a taruvos of the plate and the debris which is on top. So therefore, that apparently you see from these cases is not considered to be an issue of borer at all. It's an important ha'ara that Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, based on Shiltei HaGiborim, in all of these cases where you do have the removal of something which is not desirable, but yet the Gemara doesn't call that a case of borer, apparently, that is not considered to meet this requirement of ta'aruvos. So what are such examples? How is it that one is magdir this concept of shnei minim ha'me'uravim? The Ramon, the beginning of Shin Yotes, in Siv Gimel, quotes the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is found in Simin Nun Zayin. Let's assume, for example, there is a tray of Shnei Minei Dagim, different types of fish. How are they, in fact, different? Here the Rama writes that if they are chatichos gedolos, even if they are larger pieces, and that means that kol achas nikeres bifnei atzma, you could recognize each one individually. It's not that they are small pieces so it looks simply as though it's a composite, but rather each piece is considered to be nikar. Nonetheless, the Rama writes the following case, that in that instance, even if they are chatichos gedolos, and each one is nikeres bifnei atzma, so in such an instance, as long as each min is not misuder bifnei atzma, it's not that part A is distinct on this side of the tray, and part B is on that side of the tray, the Rama writes that that is considered to be shnei minim hamuravim. So if they are shnei minidagim, again, they're two different types of fish, and even though they're chatichos gedolos, and even though they're recognizable, but if they're placed on the same tray, and they are not arranged as such that there's a clear demarcation, in such an instance, that's the chiddush that the Rama writes, that already is considered to be the taruvos, and therefore, you would only be allowed to take ochel mitoch psoles, and only to do so la'alter. One would not be allowed to take that la'achar zman. So that's the chiddush that Trumas Hadeshen writes. Even if it's considered to be chatichos gedolos, even though kolachas is nikeres bifnei atzmo, nonetheless that is already considered to be shnei minim uravim. That's referring to shnei minigadim, two different types. There are certain cases that the post can point out would not meet this requirement. I'll give you the following example. Let's assume many of these details are discussed in Shmir Shabbos and also in the Sefer more recently printed, which is called Orchel Shabbos. It's very good examples, halach lamaisa, of these malachos, and especially in the case of Borer. Let's say, for example, right, after one is finished eating, and now the tray or your plate is brought back to the kitchen. So very often you'll have some leftover food, and you'll have the silver, which is on top of the plate as well. There the post can point out that that's not considered to be, right, a case of Borer. After all, a person does not perceive of that as being a taruvos, that the fork and the knife that are resting on the plate are mu'uravin, betocha ochel, and therefore there's no need for la'alter. In that particular case, if a person will simply go ahead and remove a fork or remove the knife, one does not have to do so only based on la'alter, even if there is no immediate use. But medvaram umrim that that's true, that we don't view the silverware together with the food as being, right, a taruvos, that's only if the silver is in fact exposed. But let's assume, for example, the cases where the silver is completely covered or immersed. Sometimes you can have a serving dish, right, and the silver falls inside. That alpidin we do view as being a case of a taruvos. This is what the Orchel Shabbos quotes in the name of the Gedolei HaPoskim, that is considered to be a taruvos. That's mamish muravim zebozen. And therefore, the only way you would be allowed to remove, let's say, the serving spoon that has fallen in, right, would be to do so where it's needed la'alter, if in fact it's necessary to use immediately. He writes the following chiddush, that a person can engage in somewhat of a harama in order to justify that this is considered to be la'alter. For example, I'm going to use a spoon to clear off another dish, so I can go ahead and reach in and use that spoon that was the serving dish that now is completely immersed in ochel, right, as using that for the purpose, right, of the tashmish, which is miyad, that's considered in fact to be a case of la'altan. So if the silver is exposed sitting on a dish, that's not something that is perceived as being a taruvos. If it's completely contained within, then that would be the instance. The same thing argues is true, for example, let's say a piece of silverware by mistake was thrown into the garbage. So in such a case, if it's completely contained in the garbage, then alpidin is considered to be itaruvos, where the heter to remove that which was by mistake accidentally thrown in would only be one which is in fact la'alter. If it would not be justified la'alter, that would be a case of borer. A further example, right, is the following, that let's assume, for example, that things are arranged in a shelf. Now, whether it's food items that are arranged in a refrigerator shelf, whether it's svarim that are arranged, right, on a bookshelf as well, there we assume, when it comes to Borer, the following concerns. That again, that as long as it is arranged on the shelf, then each one is nikar bifnei atzmo. So in that instance, it is not considered to be, right, alpidin considered as itaruvos, as long as they are munachim v'nikarim bifnei atzmo. So therefore, if the svarim are clearly arranged on the shelf, and therefore it is nikar, it's not that they're all, right, with a blank back and you have to search through each one in order to find the one that you're looking for. So in such instance, alpidin as well, that's not considered to be a taruvos. If there are many different food containers in a shelf in a refrigerator, so in such instance, again, alpidin, that's not a taruvos. There's no problem about it. To be able to move the one you don't want, to access the one that you want, is not considered to be a psolus mitoch ochel, and there is no need for the altar as well. When is this true? As long as mentioned, they are misudarim v'nikarim. Right? If, for example, it is something which is ba'arema, let's assume, for example, that's not true, all those items are piled, then that is considered alpidin to be a taruvos. When a person looks at the shelf, the perception is not that that alpidin is considered to be a taruvos. Those are individual items that are simply resting on a common shelf. If, for example, you have in the refrigerator a drawer, a vegetable drawer or a freezer drawer, where items are just simply randomly put in such a case, alpidin, that would be considered to be a taruvos. And therefore, accessing that would only be allowed if it's considered to be olchemito psoles, and that would only be a case which is mutter la'alter as well. A further important chiddush. There's a comment that the Shvisas HaShabbos says in Borer in Os Chafei, where he writes the following: sometimes you have food items that are sitting in a liquid. Is that considered to be shnei minim uravin, or is that not? that also the Shvisas HaShabbos assumes would depend on whether it is perceived as being itaruvos or whether it's not. In some cases, it's not as clear. The case the Shvisas HaShabbos discusses is the following. Let's say you have beitzim unachim b'mayim. Let's assume that they're hard-boiled eggs, and it's sitting in a pot of water. In such an instance, the Chiddush Shvisas HaShabbos writes is that that alpidin is not considered to be a taruvos, right? We don't normally assume in common sense terms that that is considered to be a taruvos of eggs together with the water. There, each of the eggs is bifnei atzmo, and in such an instance, therefore, that is not considered to be shnei minim ha'uravin zebazeh. That would allow la'alacha, for example, the following chiddush, that there's no need for la'alter. A person would be able to remove the eggs, right, even though he doesn't need it for immediate use. He wants to use it the bo'balom later in Shabbos, right, but that would be allowed. Or chiddush number two, one would be allowed to laros esamayim. One would be allowed to, let's say, take that pot and to pour it out and simply to pour out the water. If that alpidin would be a taruvos, so therefore we would label pouring out the water to be a case of psolas mitoch ochel, not ochel mitoch psolas. We would insist that you have to access the beitzim, not the mayim. Shvisas HaShabbos writes the chiddush that alpidin, that's not considered to be shnei min rav mezebezeh. That's comparable to a case, right, of items that are sitting and resting on a shelf, even though they're in very close proximity and they're touching, but we don't see that alpidin as being a taruvos of the shelf and the items, or even the water and the eggs, and therefore that is not considered to be a taruvos, a problem of borer. Where it becomes somewhat less clear is what if you're dealing with smaller particles. This is what the Rosh Shabbos discussed. Let's assume the case is zeisim b'sol hamashke. Let's assume that you have olives that are resting in its juice, right? Is that considered to be a taruvos or is it not? Certainly intuitively it would appear that the larger the chayfetz, the eggs and the water, it's not considered to be a taruvos at all. But zeisim together with its juice, is that considered to be shnei minim hamu'uravim? Or in fact, does it not? So the Rosh Shabbos writes the following chiddush, maybe it depends on quantity. If there are zeisim rubin, if there are many olives in a jar, in such an instance, that we will view is a taruvos of shnei minim, and therefore it's only mutter to access la'alter, and it's only mutter to do so if it is ochel mitoch psoles. The Rosh Shabbos does write, however, if there is zeisim bodedin. Let's assume, for example, right, there's a single olive which is left right in the jar, so you have a lot of juice in a single olive, perhaps alpidin, that is not considered to be a taruvos, and therefore, then it would not require those halachos of borer. The Chiddush of the Shvisa Shabbos is a more obvious case. Beisim, beitzim, hamunachim, b'mayim. The case of zeisim, besoch, hamashke, right, is one which is less clear. There, the Rosh Shabbos suggests that following Chiddush, it depends on zeisim rubim, as opposed to whether it's zeisim bodedim. Let's assume, for example, you have a sardine can, or let's say you have tuna, where very often it's in oil or water. That dapidin we do consider as being itaruvos. It's not like the case of eggs in its water, where clearly it is considered to be each one which is omed bifnei atzmo. In an instance where we're talking about such a case, then one has to be very careful. That's considered to be a taruvos of shnei mini ochel, and therefore in that instance one could only access miad, and you would have to take out, for example, the sardines, you would have to take out the tuna, as opposed to tilting the can in order that its mashka would pour out. Right, there it's considered alpidin to be a case of itaruvos as well. Rosh Shabbos gives the following example. Sometimes, for example, a person can have, right, a container of yogurt or of leaven where there is liquid which rises to the top. The liquid together with the yogurt, the leaven, is that considered to be shnei minim hamuravim? And there suggests the following chiddush. It depends. Sometimes there's a clear separation between the solid and the liquid. It's almost as though the layer of the yogurt itself has somewhat of a crust which is formed. In that case, if that's true, so therefore alpidin, that's not considered to be a taruvos. And therefore there will be nothing wrong, right, with pouring out the water. That's not considered to be solus mitoch ochel, because that is not considered to be shnei minim ha'uravim, a food which is a solid, right, and there is liquid that rises above that. However, let's assume sometimes that separation is not as clear, right? Sometimes, for whatever reason, it's not that there is a clear demarcation, right? Sometimes the upper layer, and those yogurts are ready, mu'uravin, there are pieces of the yogurt which is within, in such an instance that he argues would be, in fact, the taruvos, and then one would not be allowed to pour off the liquid off of the top. A person will only be able to access the yogurt, for example, la'alta, and it has to be ocha mitoch ha'psoles. A case the Mishnah Berurah discusses in Shinyates Sivkotin Samach Aleph, this is also the Taz in Sivkotin Yud Gimel, this is the Chazon Ish in Simen Nun Gimel, is a zvuv shenafal amashke. What happens if a person has a liquid and all of a sudden he notices that there is a bug which is present? What do you do? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Taz, again the Mishnah Berurah is in Sivkotin Samach Aleph, the Taz in Sivkotin Yud Gimel, that one cannot remove the zvuv by itself, but rather one should do so ela im ma'at mashke. If a person will go ahead and spoon it out, that you're removing the zvuv, the fly, the insect together with liquid, so therefore that's considered to be permitted because that is not called solas mitoch ochel, because you're removing ochel as well. The Chazon Ish writes the following chiddush in Siman Nun Gimel in that particular case. Why is that? What is the significance of that eitzah that if a person will remove ma'at mashke, in that case that is not considered to be an isra borer? So the Chazon Ish writes the following, that the insect which is there is not considered to be mu'uravim ikar hamashke. It's not that if you have a whole plate of soup or a whole plate of liquid and there's an insect which is there that it's all considered to be mu'uravim zebazeh, but rather the Chazon Ish writes the following chiddush, that the problem is that the mashke is davok ben knafav ur kara'av. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. Even the insect itself, there is some liquid that is immediately together with the insect that is present. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. It's not that we consider it to be a taruvos of the gallon of liquid and this small insect which is present. That's not the problem. That's not considered to be muravin zebazeh. The problem is the following, that even within the various limbs of the insect, there is mashke. And that's why the eitzah is to remove part of the mashke, because if you're removing that mashke with it, in such a case, therefore that's not considered to be an act of borer at all. It's not that the zvuv is considered to be the ochel, and all the surrounding mashke is the psoles. So the answer is that when you scoop it out, you're moving some ochel from the remaining ochel. No, that the Chazon Ish writes is not a taruvos. The taruvos is that the zvuv is mu'uravim amashke hadavuk bo. And therefore, if you remove it with the mashke hadavuk bo, therefore that's not considered to be an act of borer at all. That's an important tahara. In that case, the Taz describes in Sivkot Yud Gimel. That's why the Chazon Ish writes just the following chiddush, for example. This is true if there's a single zvuv, which is together with that mashke. That's not considered to be a taruvos. But let's assume, for example, there are many zvuvim. There's a lot of debris which is there. Then the Chazon Ish writes the following chiddush, that then we would consider the whole substance to be the taruvos. We wouldn't isolate it just in terms of the mashke hadavuk bo. The entire quantity would be called, etaruvos. And if that's the case, then it would not help to go ahead and to remove, even with a little bit of mashke, because that would be tantamount to removal of psolos mitoch ochel. That's the chiddush, that the case where the Taz writes that it's mutter, as long as one removes ma'at mayim, that's only because the taruvos is the zvuv together with its own ma'at mayim. That's an important chiddush that the Chazon Ish writes. But if indeed there are kama zvuvim that are present, therefore that would not be an eitzah, simply to remove the zvuv together with ma'at mayim that surrounds it, because that's considered to be an act of bora vis-a-vis the entire taruvos. In this siman, in Shin Yotes, in Sif Yud Dalet, the Mechaber gives another example. This is what the Mishnah Berurah discusses in Sifkot Nun Dalet. Let's assume, for example, you have a case of Mashka Hatsof Mi'al Hashmari. Let's assume that there are sediments, and you have liquid that rises above the sediment. So here the Shulchan Aruch writes the following Chiddush, that the sediment is on the bottom, and the liquid is that which is on the top. So in such an instance, that alpidin is not considered to be a taruvos, as long as you are dealing with the upper layer. If all you are removing is the upper layer, and the upper layer is not intermingled with any form of sediment, the sediment is only at the bottom. So therefore, regarding the upper half of that combination, that chelek ha'elyon is not considered to be itaruvos. So for example, if a person were to have a pot of soup, and some of the vegetables or some of the chicken has fallen to the bottom, and the upper layer is considered to be just the clear soup itself, that layer of soup is not considered to be ma'urav im ha'ochel. And therefore, that is not considered to be, right, a problem, a borer. Mashen ken, if one is dealing with a lower level, now there is considered to be a taruvos, and in such an instance, if for whatever reason a person wants to only have soup and not have the ochel, so then one has to meet the requirements of borer. Right? That would be a taruvos. That's the chiddush that the Mechaber mentions, Shin Yud Tes Yud Aleph, that if the combination is layered, and the taruvos is only on the bottom, and the top is only min echad, that top layer is not considered to be a taruvos at all. You don't have to meet the requirements of borer. Only, however, when it is later in the bottom, then we assume it's considered to be a taruvos, and then you require la'alter. We'll have to talk about some details of la'alter in that particular case. So these are just a few examples that the Shulchan Aruch discusses in Shin Yotes, what al-Pidin is considered to be taruvos, what are not. But again, right, with that ha'ara, that sometimes not simple to determine when the minim are muravim zebezeh and when in fact they are not. That Ramah that we began with in Shin Yotes in Gimel, when it mentions different types of fish, here the Ramah is clear also as follows. If we're dealing with shnei minim, two different types of dagim, that the Ramah says al-Pidin is called shnei minim, and if it's on the same tray and it's not arranged right in a fashion where clearly one is distinct from the other, that is shnei minim hamu'uravin, and therefore it's only mutter if it's la'alter. The Ramah writes, what happens, for example, if you have all the same type of food, it's just chatichos, gdolos, and ktanos, just different sizes, but it's all the same, larger pieces, smaller pieces. Here, the Ramah writes, also in the Trumas Hadeshen, that al-Pidin is considered to be min echad. Because even though they're different sizes, and you may have somewhat of a preference, but there isn't a different function or utility between a larger piece or a smaller piece, and therefore al-Pidin, that is considered to be min echad. And therefore, even if they are mamish mu'uravin zebozeh, but it didn't meet the requirement of shnei minim hamu'uravin, and therefore there's no problem of borer. Sometimes you can envision a case where size will make a marked difference. When you think, for example, with other types of items, right? A large item as opposed to a small item could have a different function, a different utility, a different shimush. In such an instance, certainly is considered to be shnei minim. But in this case, where it's all the same ochel, and it's all for the same purpose, it's just the larger piece and the smaller piece, the other Ramah writes, that is considered to be a case of min echel. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes the following chiddush, and that is, what happens if you're not dealing with, again, one case, the Ramah, is two different types of fish. Good? The other case is different sizes of fish. What if one is dealing with simply, right, the different parts of the chicken? The white meat and the dark meat, the tops and the bottoms. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that we should assume the halacha that's considered to be shnei minim. And if, in fact, it's shnei minim, so therefore, it has to be olchel, mitoch ha'psolos, and it has to be la'alter. If it's only a difference in size, that's what the Ramah writes, that's considered to be echad, but not if it comes to different types, white meat and dark meat, even if it's all part right, of the same preparation. And the Ramah also mentions a further difference. This is what the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkat and Kezvav. This is also assuming that the preparation is the same. They're all prepared in an identical fashion, right, but chatichos gdolos versus chatichos ktanos. Let's assume, for example, the preparation is distinct, one which is mevushla as opposed to one which was tzli. So in such an instance, that as well is considered to be shnei minim, and therefore, if there are different types of preparation, therefore also, ochle mitol tzpsoles and la'alter is necessary. There's a chiddush that the Magen Avraham has. The Magen Avraham is found in Simin Tavkuf, in Sivkat and Yud Beis, Where the Magen Avraham writes, let's say, for example, you have a combination of foods, some which are mutter and some which are osur ba'achila. Is that considered to be shnei minim, or is it not? Let's assume that there is a combination of peros. The peros are identical, except for an important fact, part are mutter ba'achila, and some of the peros are peros of orlum. Is that considered al pidin to be shnei minim? So the Magen Avraham writes the following chiddush, that midaraisa, that is all min echad. Since the composition is the same, the difference between them is simply lahalacha, that one is mutter and one is aser. So there the Magen Avraham says the chiddush that al pidin hakol min echad, but arihu d'raviyeh, we discussed earlier, the fact that one is mutter b'achila, the fact that one is aser l'achila, midaraisa, that is not considered to be shnei minin. Magen Avraham clearly implies midrabanan, that is true. We're going to see in Kniva Sayerek, we're going to see a further issue. Let's assume, for example, right? Is it possible to have something which midaraisa is min echad, where midrabanan, it's not true, it's shnei minin. The Magen Avraham writes an example when it comes to dvarim hamutarim as opposed to dvarim ha'asurim, that in such an instance, orla as opposed to peros misukanim, that midaraisa is min echad, but midrabanan were in fact machmer. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasana in Paragimel, right, in Simin Chafei, quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman in the following case. If a person has, let's say, matzos that are intermingled, and some are shalem and some are not, shlemos and shvuros. So here is where Shlomo Zalman assumes that, again, similar to the case of the Magen Avraham, even though mi'ikar hadin, one could argue that that's all considered minechad, the fact that lahalacha there's a preference means that at least midrabanon we will treat that as shnei minim. And therefore, if a person is sorting through the matzahs to find matzah which is shalem as opposed to that which is not, in such an instance, that is considered to be a problem of borer, that's considered to be a taruvos, which must be solved as och mitoch psoles and la'alta. And the sefer I mentioned yesterday, the sefer Ayo Meshulosh in Paragimel, it quotes the name of Rabbi Yashiv, that Rabbi Yashiv did not feel that the kapeda of Lechem Mishnah is sufficient to label it as shnei minim. In the case of Magen Avraham, where it's mutter b'achilin, aser b'achila, that's the chiddush of Magen Avraham, that midrabanan will label that as shnei minim. But it quotes the name of Rabbi Yashiv that that's not true in the case of simply matzah, which is shalem, as opposed to that which is not. Al pidin, that's all considered to be a case of min echad, and that would mean that there's no need, for example, of la'alter. But Shmir Shabbos writes explicitly that Rosh Shlomo Zalman was machmer to treat that as shnei minim because of the preference of shleimim, and therefore one can only do so ochel mitoch psoles and la'alter, a nafkamina that commonly arises. The Ramah discusses in Shin Chaf Aleph, in Sif Yotes, peeling peros, kiluf haperos. To what extent, again, is that considered to be, right, a problem of borer? And then what indeed is the solution? To what extent do we view the fruit and the peel is shnei minim? And assuming that that is true, so therefore, how is it that you understand ochel mitoch psoles and psoles mitoch ochel when it comes to the peel of a fruit or a vegetable? The Ramah quotes the Chiddush of Rabbi Yerucham that writes the following, that osur liklov shumin ubitzalim kishakolef lahaniach. A person is not allowed to peel garlic or to peel onions if one is doing so la'achar zman. Avalecho la'alter sharim. So, a Chiddush. The Rabbi Yerucham assumes that the peel and the food item is considered to be a bora problem. That al-pidin is called shnei minim ha-mu'uravim. Even though it's not mu'uravim in the classic sense that the two minim are intermingled, but since the klipa is devuka lepri, right? So therefore, that alone, Rabbi Yerucham assumes, is enough considered a taruvos, and therefore, it's a problem of borer. And how is this solved? By that which is la'alter. Right, the Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha, there in Dira Maschil Liklov, just has the following ha'ara, that since in that case, Kaven Diefshir Be'inyin Acher, after a halos, so you're going to access, right, the shum, or the bitzalim, if you're not going to remove its outer peel, its outer husk, and that certainly is the derech achila, right, that you remove the outer peel or outer husk in order to access the food, to access the ochel. So in such an instance, that is considered to be derech achila, and therefore that is not called solas mitoch ochel. That's considered to be lahalacha, comparable to ochel mitoch psoles. Ochel mitoch psoles is a normal derech achila. And if you're dealing with something that's countered by an upper shell, an outer husk, a peel, so in that instance, it is a problem. We do consider it to be shnei minim ha-me'uravim, because they are mechubarim dvuk in yachad, but nonetheless, that is considered to be an issue that can be resolved by simply removal of the peel altar, because that is considered to be olcha mitoch psoles. That's the chiddush that the Chaznish writes as well in Nun Dalet Dalet, that it is considered to be shnei minim hamu'uravin, but since the derech achila is to remove that al pidin is comparable to a case which is olcha mitoch psoles, but it must be done la'altar. So if a person is peeling an egg, for example, how else are you going to access the egg without removing its peel? That's derech achila, one is allowed to do so. But we do treat the egg peel and the egg as shnei minim hamiuravim, right? It's comparable to that case, Rabbeinu Rucham, the case of the shumim b'tzolim, and therefore it is considered to be a problem which requires, right, la'altar. The same thing is true when it comes to, let's say, the outer leaves of a head of lettuce. Very often, that is something that is inferior, that is considered to be comparable to a shell or a peel, in which case it is considered to be minim hama'uravim, and therefore it is only mutter if it is done la'altar, and even though one is removing the psoles, that is the bir halacha writes, is considered to be derech achila, and therefore it's considered, in fact, to be mutter. Rav Moshe writes the following chiddush, found in Igros Moshe Chelak Dalet, right, in Simon Ayin Dalet. Rav Moshe has several pieces regarding Dine Borer, where Rav Moshe discusses the skin of chicken. Right, is that considered to be, right, Shnei Minim? Is that considered to be Osohamin? So there, Moshe writes the following, that there the skin is simply considered to be Chelek Mehabasar, and therefore it is normal for people to eat the basar, normal for people to eat the skin, and therefore it is not a borer problem, and therefore removal of the skin does not require the heter of la'altar. That's what Moshe writes in Chelek Dalet Ayin Dalet. And that Sefer Ochos Chavish just points out the following ha'ara, that, right, perhaps in our time, in our metzius, right, it is very, very common that people will remove the skin and not eat the skin. The skin is not nearly as healthy as the chicken itself. And in such an instance, the chiddush that maybe now we should view that as shnei minim, the skin and the chicken, in which case one should only remove it la'altar, not la'achar zman. And our Choshabbos even goes a step further and says the following, maybe it depends on the preparation. Interesting chiddush. Sometimes if you'll have roasted chicken, there it is much less common for a person to remove the skin. The skin usually is the best part, and therefore they will eat it together. In which case, al pidin is considered, as Rav Moshe writes, to all be min echad, doesn't require heter of la'altar. Mashen came sometimes, if you're dealing with another form of chicken, like boiled chicken, for example, where it's much more common that the skin is removed and discarded, then al pidin we should view it as shnei minim hamuravin, and therefore the heter would be only la'altar and not allowed la'achar zman. Mishnah Berurah discusses the following issue. This is found in Shin Chaf Aleph, in Sif Katan Pei Dalet, Machlokes Magen Avraham and Prima Gadim. What about the skin of certain fruits? For example, the skin or the peel of an apple. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chiddush of Magen Avraham, that is only Mutter Fisla Altar. That we view the peel of the apple and its fruit as Shnei Minim, and therefore it's only Mutter Samach Lesuda. And the Shar HaTzion in Sivkot in Sadi Dalid quotes the Prima Gadim, who disagrees, and the Prima Gadim argues as follows, that since when it comes to apples, Rov Bnei Adam will eat the apple together with its peel. People do at times peel apples, but generally speaking, a person will eat the pre as is without peeling. So therefore, that is all considered to be a single min, and therefore there's no need for la'altar. If you're dealing with the cases we discussed earlier, that was the Raman, Shin Chaf Aleph Sifyutes, where of course you're going to remove the peel. So that requires the altar. That's considered to be an act of Borer. But as the Sharat Zion writes, in a place where Rov Bnei Adam Ochlim Im HaKlipa, and that is the case, right? The Prima Gadam writes, when it comes to apples, in such an instance, then there is no heter of the altar. That can be subject to change as well, in terms of whether most people will eat the potato with its outer peel, whether they eat it only peeled, apples with the peel or without the peel. In principle, if normally it's eaten without the peel, often that's considered to be shnei minim, in which case the altar is necessary. If normally the pre is eaten as is, therefore it's considered to be a single min, not shnei min moravim bezebezeh, and in such a case, then there is no need for the altar. When it comes, for example, to certain vegetables that are normally peeled, carrots, for example, or cucumbers, right? People eat it in different ways, but the assumption is that Rov Bnei Adam will peel before they eat. In such a case, that certainly is considered to be Shnei Minim, like the case of Rabbeinu Rucham that the Rama quotes, because people normally remove the peel before engaging in Achila. If it's considered to be Shnei Minim, again, it's a problem of Borer, and therefore, if that's the case, one can still remove the outer layer because that is the derech achila, but at the same time not to use a kli which is miyuchad l'kach, and at the same time to make sure that it's considered to be, right, that which is la'alter. Right? Very common application, especially now, is what about the sinun mayim, straining water? Is that considered to be a borer problem? To what extent is that considered to be a problem? There as well, Shmir Shabbos discusses at length, and Sefer Achos Chaim, as I mentioned, had a lengthy discussion. Normally, the assumption was always the following, that if you have mayim, which is ru'uyin l'shtiyas rov b'nei adam, if normally speaking, people would drink the water as is, without any need to strain at all. So therefore, the straining is not considered to be an act of borer, that al-pidin is not considered to be shnei minim at all, because after all, right, it's rayu l'shtiyas rov b'nei adam. So again, not talking about a case where the water is very foul and everyone will filter, or the water l'halacha poses problems and therefore it's necessary to filter. In a normal case where people will do so at times because of a difference in taste, as long as it's rayu l'shtiyas rov b'nei adam, that usually we assume is considered to be a single min, right? And therefore, sinun mayim would consider to be mutter. If, in fact, a person is, la halacha, what's considered an istinis, in that sense, they will never utilize the water as is for drinking, and therefore there is a consistent kpeda, at least sanin esamayim, so that Rabbi Yashiv assumes then is considered to be shnei minim, right? If that's a consistent kpeda, right? Otherwise, we normally assume that even if a person may have some measure of preference, as long as it's rayu l'shtiyas rov b'nei adam, that is considered again to be sufficient. In fact, the Maram Shik raises the following safek. Maram Shik is found in Orach Chaim and Simen Kuf Lamed Daled. What happens if a person is not makbid for sinun hamayim, but he is serving someone who in fact is? So how do you view, right, that level of kpeda, right? Is it necessarily viewed from the perspective of the one who will be drinking or the one who will be engaged in the malacha? This is a safek that the Ram Shik has. Ram Shik writes that he's mistadeh lahatir, that the person himself who is not makbid can filter for someone who is makbid, because from the point of view of the one who's doing the malacha, there really is no kveda. But Maram Shik writes that he's hesitant lahalacha to be somechan this particular kula. But the Maram Shik already raises the suffix. Mishnah Berurah doesn't discuss this exact case, but there's a very similar case that the Bir Halacha discusses in Simen Shin Beis, right, in Siv Aleph, then Bir Halacha, Dibra Maschil Vahu. The Mechaber writes the following. What happens in a case of Hama'ar Talis Chadasha? A person has a new garment, and a new garment, he's very makbid that the garment shouldn't pack, appear to be clear, right? And there's some tal, right, which is on the garment. Is one allowed to go ahead simply and to brush it off? So the Mechaber writes that you can't do so. If there's a level of hakpada, in such a case, one cannot be ma'ar mina'er begadav. And the Mechaber just adds the following, vuhu shemakbir Allah. That's as long as there's a level of hakpada. So the Bir Halacha, that Mechaber raises that similar safek. What happens v'im mina'er bishvil acher? If a person is brushing off a garment that someone else is wearing, and the hakpadas are different. The person who's doing it is makbid, but for the wearer there is no hakpada. Or the Mishnah writes v'chem ha'il epech, or if it would be the opposite the case. So the Bir Halacha concludes in its Sarachim, whether that would meet the requirement of the Mechaber. Is the Kpeda from the perspective of whom? The one who is benefiting from, or the one who is indeed engaging in the Malach? But again, normal assumption, if you're dealing with just, right, a Kpeda of a select few, but for Rov Bnei Adam, right, there is no such Akpada in the case of Sinan Mayim, that would not be considered to be a problem. Right, Bizman Azef, you really assume that there is a significant problem, and it's vital, right, to filters in such an instance, right, that lechor is similar to the cases where there is an absolute hakpada, that would be a bora problem. On Shabbos, one could envision that whether there is or is no hakpada could very well depend on what the person is using the water for. If it's being used for something where there's an absolute hakpada whatsoever in such an instance, then not. If, however, there is done for the purpose of shti, where there is an absolute hakpada in such an instance, that would be a problem of borer as well. We discussed different applications of la'alta. We pointed out regarding the various different shitas and shinyates, right? What exactly is meant by la'alta? Right? We mentioned the Magen Avraham and Shin Chaf Aleph, right? The Mishnah Brura, Shas Yitzimi Beis HaKnesses, where it is within the normal window of time for preparation. We pointed out the Chiddush that, again, the Diuk in that Bir Halach and Tafrei Shir Aleph in the Sugi of Knivas Yerek, that it's possible to envision if it's a Suda Gedola, and the normal window of preparation is longer, so therefore, of course, the Shir of Altar will be expanded. Right? It's not a Shir Kotsu, but rather it depends on the extent and necessity of preparation. There's an interesting Chiddush again that the Shmir Shabbos discusses. This is found in the footnote Kuf Pehe. What happens if I am separating something for someone else? Now, Haborer Libtein La'acher. Someone wants to borrow something from me. Okay, I have it in my home, but it's Pitaruvos. It's Muravin Zebazen. How do you assess La'alter as opposed to La'acharzman? If the person is going to be using the chafetz immediately, of course that's considered to be la'alter. No, it certainly is la'alter. And therefore, ochel mitoch psalos la'alter is considered to be mutter. What if the person is borrowing this from me, but he's not using it immediately? He's going to use it in a few hours. Is that considered to be la'alter, or is that not? Let's assume, for example, someone is having a suda with me, and I want to give him some ochel to take with him. He'll have it later in the day on Shabbos. No? He's not going to eat it right now. We just finished the Suda. He's going to have it later for Shalosh Shudas. No? Is that considered to be la'alter, or is it considered to be la'achar zman? There, Rabbi Yashiv assumed that that's considered to be la'achar zman. If the food item, if the object is not going to be used immediately, that's not called la'alter, that's called la'achar zman. And Shmir Shabbos quotes a Chiddush Nimrav Shlomo Zalman in Kuf Pei Hei, just the following, that that's called la'alter. Why? Because from my perspective, from my job description, that is the immediate need. I am not using the chafetz. Right? What am I being asked to do? I am being asked to present him with the chafetz. If I will separate it now to present it to him in an hour, that's not called la'alter. But from my perspective, no, that is considered to be a shimush bifnei atzmo, presenting the chafetz to the person. And therefore, la'alter means if I'm presenting it to him now, that is considered to be sufficient. That's the chiddush that Shlomo Zalman writes. Now, my la'alter nachar zman is not going to be viewed or measured based on what he will do with the chafetz, but rather simply in terms of My role is to provide him with that. So therefore, if I am giving him these leftovers now, so in such a case, that's considered to be la'alter, even though he's not consuming leftovers at that particular time. Interesting chiddush, no? Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes in footnote Beis, right, a following chiddush. Let's assume, for example, what we mentioned earlier. If things are neatly arranged on a tray in the refrigerator or freezer, that's not called a taruvos. Let's assume, for example, it's not neatly arranged. No, very common in the freezer. You have just freezer bins, right? And therefore, there are many things that are on top of each other. So we mentioned earlier, al-pidin, that's considered to be taruvos. And therefore, if it's a taruvos, it requires la'alter. La'alter means the normal immediate use, no? So what happens in the following case? Let's assume I have this bin, right? And there are all types of things mixed in. A challah, for example, is in the freezer bin. Good. I want to remove it. It's a taruvos. Olchemitol psilos, but I have to do it la'alter. What exactly is la'alter? What's the problem? Immediate use? What, immediate achila? Right? It's frozen. I have to take it out now to allow it to defrost. It can take a few hours to defrost. Is that considered to be la'alter, or is that not? I'm taking it out not to utilize then, but at least in terms of the necessary preparation, not the achila, right? Time has to be factored in. So Shmir Shabbos writes that Rosh Shlomo Zalman considered that to be la'alter. Because after all, that's the normal window of preparation. It could take a few hours because it has to defrost. That's what the Shmir Shabbos writes in Ha'arah Beis. If you look, however, in the third very small chelik of Shmir Shabbos, where there are additional Ha'aras, so if you look in Chelek Gimel, right, of the Shmir Shabbos, in Perek Gimel, in Ha'ara Reish, there Rav Shlomo Zalman described it very differently. And in the very end of the Ha'ara it says, and if that's true, those Chidushim that were in Shmir Shabbos are not true. That that's not considered to be La'alter. The fact that time is necessary in order to defrost and so on is not automatically considered to be that which is La'alter. It's an important chiddush. There's a further chiddush Rav Moshe has regarding the altar as follows. Let's assume, for example, a person has soup, which is together with vegetables, together with chicken. It's all intermingled. You don't have the different layers. In which case, you can argue that the soup is independent of, but it's all mu'uravin zebazeh. Let's assume, for example, right now. Right, a person is just interested, let's say, in having a soup. He would prefer having a soup without any of the chicken. What about the chicken which is there in the soup? Right, that he intends to use for his main course. Right, not for the soup. He's going to use that in 15 minutes. He's not going to eat that right now. It's a very interesting issue. Now, does the person desire to utilize this chicken at this meal? Absolutely yes. No? So he'll take out the chicken now, but you'll tell me, look, he can only do that la'alter. Yeah, but lo so sud, of course, is la'alter. No? He's going to be utilizing that in 15 minutes. So Rav Moshe writes the following chiddush, that no, that is not true in this particular case. If you were to desire the chicken, and you'll take the chicken and put it on a tray to use later in the meal, that's fine, that's la'alter. But here, where you're dealing with shnei minim, right? And one min you desire immediately, you want to have the soup right now. And the other min you intend to have just in a few minutes, at the next course, as soon as you finish your soup. So therefore, Rav Moshe writes the following chiddush, that right now you desire to utilize the soup, right, free of any taruvos, without the vegetables, without the chicken. So therefore, that is considered to be a taruvos. The soup is the ochel. The chicken is considered to be the psoles, and you cannot go ahead and remove the chicken, even though you intend to use it, right, in a very short window of time, right, even though that would have been good enough for la'alter, right, but not, right, under these conditions. That's not considered to be, right, the case of la'alter, because here you're dealing with la'alter mamish, the soup that you want immediately, and that you desire alone, and to utilize the food which is mixed in a little bit later. So that Rav Moshe writes one cannot do. Right? We would have thought that that could be under the normal spread of la'alter, but no, not in this case where there is an immediate preference. When we discussed in the earlier shiurim as well, the difference between yad as opposed to kli, that we mentioned the following. Right? The chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Yates and Sivkot and Samach Vav, that when we say kli, we don't always mean literally whether there's a utensil, whether there's not, but if something al kedin is called yada arichta, if something is just an extension of your hand, right, the person is utilizing that simply that he doesn't get his hand dirty, or a person is using some utensil for purposes of etiquette, So in such an instance, that is considered to be biyad, that is not considered to be a case of that which is a kli. So therefore, very often, kli hasuda, a fork, a knife, a spoon, that is all considered to be biyad as opposed to the kli. This is what the Gros Moshe writes as well, Chelak Aleph and Simen Kuf Chav Dalet. We pointed out that further chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman, right? Again, a chiddush that is not necessarily halacha lemaisa, but the chiddush of Shlomo Zalman said that if all these shiurim we define bora as the Bayi says as bora laotzer, maybe one could argue that the kli, which is miuchad for breira, must be for breira lachar zman, for bora laotzer. And therefore, if you have something which is clearly used as a kli, however, it is something which is for immediate use. So in that instance, that is considered to be biyad as opposed to a kli. That's the chiddush that Shmir Shabbos mentioned, just as a possibility in Lamdos, right, in Ha'ara Kuf Chavei. That is not always the case. Sometimes clay suda, right, can be viewed as a kli as opposed to biyad. The Shvisas HaShabbos writes, right, in the Malach of Merakeid, in Os Chavav, let's assume very common that one will serve a salad and they will use a slotted spoon. So in such a case, that Shvisas HaShabbos writes, that is a kli, which is miuchad for borer. Right, even though a spoon, we assume is yada richta damya. But if it's a slotted spoon, and the purpose of the spoon is to separate, right, the liquid from the salad, so therefore that is considered to be a kli, and that would be yasser, even if it is considered to be olcha mitoch psolas, and even if it's considered to be that which is la'alter. Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa discusses in Ha'ara Kuf Nun Tes the following. Sometimes a person will use, let's say, the lid against the side of a kli. There, the Shmir Shabbos writes, this is also the Psak Halacha of Rav Moshe, that also is called a kli. That's not called Yada Richta Damya. Let's assume, for example, very often a person wants to pour something from a container, and he wants the liquid should pour out, but the solid should remain, right? And he'll position the lid, right, in such a way that the particles will remain, and only the fluid will be able to leave. So in such a case, Shmir Shabbos writes, that's considered to be Borer B'Kli. It's not considered to be Yada Richta Damya. There you're using the lid, right, as a kli in order to separate the mashke from the ochel, and that is considered to be Aser. The Shmir Shabbos writes that Rav Shlomo Zalman felt perhaps that could even apply to a spoon. Right? If the spoon is used for the purpose of eating, that's considered Yada Richta Damya. But if the purpose of the spoon is used to separate the liquid from the mashke, sometimes a person can take, right, a salad from the plate, and he will put the spoon against the side of the plate in order to let the liquid drain out while he takes the ochel. So that also, there, Shlomo Zalman writes that that's not considered to be borer biyad. That's considered to be a case of a kli. In that instance, even though it's ochel mitoch hapsolas la'alter, that would be aser as well. In Orcho Shabbos, he discusses at length, sometimes you can have a spout, a tea kettle with a spout, and the spout sometimes can have a strainer, which is built in order to allow the water to pour out, but everything else to remain. There, the Orcho Shabbos writes again that you have to distinguish, as we discussed earlier, right, the Mechaber in Shin Yates, with the case of Mayim Hatzaf Agave Shemarim, between different layers. If, for example, that all the sediment is on the bottom, and there's a significant amount of liquid, and therefore be very easy just to pour out the liquid without any of the sediment at all escaping, since such an instance, that strainer is not serving the purpose of a kli for the purpose of borer. However, for example, if one is toward the bottom, right, of the container, right? Most of the contents is out already, and there's a little bit which is intermingled, and by pouring that pot now, right, effectively one is straining, so therefore that spout is considered to be, right, a kli, which is usur, even if it's considered to be la'alter. One has to be careful of this, even instances, for example, of a tea bag. Some people will make, right, sense, and the tea bag remains, right, within that small pitcher of tea sense. So are you allowed simply to tilt it in order to use the sense? And what is stopping the tea leaves from coming out? The tea bag. Is the tea bag considered to be a kli, which is miyuchad for the purpose of Borer. After all, the tea bag is serving as a strainer in that instance to allow the water to leave, but for the tea leaves to remain. So here as well, l'chora, that application should be true. If you're dealing with a case where the tea bags are at the very bottom, and there is a significant amount of tea sends, and therefore you will pour it, l'chora, that's comparable to the case I discussed earlier with the different layers, where you are not relying in any shape or form on the bag to serve as a strainer. However, what about the following? What if the sense has already been used repeatedly, and now there's just a little bit of liquid which is left? In order to pour it out and to utilize that liquid, now the tea bag is serving to hold back the leaves that otherwise would leave. In such an instance, that's a problem of borer b'kli. Right? That's where Shlomo Zalman discussed that following possibility, that maybe a tea bag shouldn't be called a kli which is miyuchad for the purpose of borer, right? Because after all, it is something that is normally used for immediate use. You're not using the tea bag for a long-term use. It's not considered to be bar la'otzer. But if you don't assume that way, mamish la'alacha, so therefore that concern, even if tea sense is made in an earlier time, if there is relatively little tea sense, where that layer is already considered to be muravin zebazeh, and you're relying on the fact that the bag is going to withhold the tea leaves and only allow the sense to escape, in such an instance, that's considered to be barabakli. Mishmer Shabbos writes the following. Let's assume, for example, a person is using a tea bag to make tea, right? Let's assume the water is not yet saletesbo. Or let's assume, for example, a tea bag can be used in a kli shlishi. We'll have to discuss those details. We do the malach of mevashel. Here Shmir Shabbos writes, still one has to be careful about the borer problem. If you're going to remove the tea bag, you have to be careful not to remove it into dangling it out right above in order that those drops of liquid should fill into the cup and therefore that you'll utilize and you're going to get rid of the tea bag. In that case, that's considered to be a case of borer b'kli. But if a person is using a kli bag and tea bag, in which cases it's permissible, right, under those conditions, and a person wants to move it out, so best thing is to do like we discussed in the case of that zvuv, to use a spoon, to spoon it out together with the tea, but not to go ahead and to simply use the string in order to do so, right, allowing the bag to be used as a kli in the process of separating the mashke from the leaves itself. I would suggest going through more of these details. These are just random survey, right? Some common applications when it comes to details of Borer. Right? Take a look, Shmir Shabbos, as you know, the Sefer Aruch HaShabbos, an excellent work which was recently published, right? And the Malacha of Borer discusses many of these applications. We'll have to discuss, learn a little bit more about Tochein and the Malacha of Och Nefesh and Yontif, and we'll discuss all the applications of Meleches Och Nefesh and Yontif as well, what types of kelim are allowed, what are not allowed. We'll see the Sugyan Beitza and Daf Yudal. Okay.